You're to love your children. You're to set the example for them. You're to establish a relationship with them. And if you don't like your kids, something's wrong with you. Start at the top. Can't fix it from the bottom. And this is something that is honorable and should be pursued and not run away from. Say, well, I didn't have a good father. Well, you got one now. Your father in heaven. Follow his example. See how he treats you. That's why you love him. That's why we raise holy hands and we sing praises to him.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Colossians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Colossians chapter 3 is the text Pastor Rick will be covering today on Cross Reference Radio.
When God says, wives, submit to your husbands, that's what he means. When he says, husbands, love your wives, don't be bitter towards them, he's serious about it. He's not saying, well, but if you got a good reason, then I can understand it. Why don't you go down to the church and talk to the pastor, and he'll pat you on your knee and tell you, it's going to be all right. You've got some valid points there. I'll talk to your wife. No, how about this? We don't side with either one of you. We side with Jesus Christ. And he says, make it work. Well, I should write a 500-page book on this, make a lot of money from people. I don't believe in experts on marriage. I believe people that have good marriages and some struggle in them, but I believe the Word of God stands forever. And I've watched all these other characters get a shot at getting a hit, and they strike out. And then they come right back up, and they just keep doing this. And people don't like to hear a pastor come up and say, don't waste your money on those. You've got one already. Discipleship, what happened to that? What happened to grandmas and grandpas telling their children, you need to make that marriage work and stop running home crying to me? You say, it's tough love. All love is tough in this world. There's no end to tough love till we get to heaven. But everything in this life, well, a love of chocolate's not really that tough. Think of Abigail. Here's a, you know, every time I think of a heroine in Scripture, her name's on the short list. King David, he understood the difference between the judgment of God and murder. He understood that. When he was in the cave, they said, here's your chance, David. Take him out. He said, I will not touch God's anointed. I won't do it. And twice he said no, because he knew the difference. But there came a day where he lost sight of that. His judgment was marred as to the judgment of God and discernment of murder. But Abigail, the wife of the one who David was coming to kill, she intercepts David and she points it out to him. She says, David, this is wrong. This is murder. You don't want to do this. I know it's a good cause, but it's not God's cause. You, David, are fighting for your men, not God, and that is wrong. Churches do this. They begin to fight for the people. All of a sudden, the church has got 50-11 programs, none of them about God. This has got his name sprinkled on in here and there. We all have to work to guard against these things. Had Abigail approached David as a competitor, he would have taken her out. She was too wise for that. Women play a vital role in our lives. Men play a vital role in the lives of women. It's set up this way. And if you go messing with it, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Accept it. Enter into it. Explore it. Try to discover just what God is talking about when he says something. Instead of getting your feelings hurt and running for cover, we haven't even gotten to talking about the children and employers yet. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You wouldn't know it looking at some Christians. What treasure? It's Christ. That's the treasure. You better let the lid off so he can do his thing. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Well, we like that part. I do. I'm not too crazy about the next part, though. He says, we're hard-pressed on every side. I don't want to be hard-pressed. Get off me. yet not crushed. That means we're under pressure, but we're still alive. Look, I don't like to say, hey, Rick, how you doing? Well, I'm hanging in there. You know, after a while, I get tired of hanging. I want to run. I want to walk. I want to move around with some freedom. I want to mean something with my life. I do not always want to be hanging in there, surviving. You know the line, you know, any day above ground is a good day. Well, yes and no. I don't want to die and stand before God and look at all of the lost opportunities I had. In fact, I'm quite bothered by this in my life. I ask God, how can I glorify you? How can I be meaningful to you? I always ask him this. Lately, God seems to have been pointing out many of the mistakes I've made in my life years back. Not in an accusatory way, but still unpleasant. I don't want to know about my mistakes in the past. I thought we got any man in Christ, new creation. What happened to the delete button? But yet these things have been coming across my mind. I could be doing raking something or doing something else. And phew, I get a flashback. Okay, he's probably setting me up for something good. He's probably preparing me for something. Or maybe not. I don't know, but I notice it. And I know whatever he's going to do, he's going to do it out of love. He's going to be right. He is the good shepherd, and I'm good with that. And so when I am hard-pressed, I'm not crushed because I trust him. Paul says, perplexed, but not in despair. You know, I'm confused. I don't know what's going on. I give up. No, I don't give up. I don't give up, and that's what despair is. Despair is to give up. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Look, because something has happened to you, because you're a Christian, doesn't mean God has walked away from you. Struck down, but not destroyed. We are invincible in Christ Jesus. That's how it is. And so you would think by those things that we would be giving this example to the world. Peter, Simon Peter, what happened if he was... oh, I don't know, after the crucifixion, walking down the street and bumps into Malchus, whose ear he cut off, and says, let me tell you about salvation. I don't think Malchus would want to hear it. Well, he could now, because his ear was put back. But I don't want to be that kind of a guy, where I've cut someone's ear off, now I want to go back and make up. But that's better than being Judas. I can do something with that. And God can too. And so, I don't think you want a pastor who encourages you to find loopholes in the Word of God when it says, wives, submit, husbands, love, and don't be bitter. Do you want me to say, well, you know, again, you don't really have to love her. Do you want a pastor like that? I don't think anybody wants something like that. You want a pastor that says, stand up straight on your feet. And hopefully, he's doing that himself. He's looking to stand up straight on his own feet. Now would be a good time to prohibit any of you from cross-examining my wife as to, hey, how's he doing at home? That's why I don't believe in experts on marriage. You get a guy, I don't sin, I follow the Lord. Yeah, let me talk to your wife for about 5 minutes. We get to the bottom of this really quick. In fact, we have to prepare our children. Look, watch out. People in the church might be pumping you for information. You'd be on guard for that kind of stuff. It is honorable for a wife to say, yes, I'll take that. Write my name down. Submit it to the Lord. Submit it to my husband. Write my name down. That's what God said. I'm there. He'll take care of the rest. It's honorable for a man who says, yes, women are very different from men. And sometimes they're so different that they make me upset. I get bitter after a while. I can't understand why they do the things they do. What's with high heels? Why do they do that? And so you can get yourself into that zone. Not with high heels. I'm using something goofy. But if he says, it is an honorable thing to love my wife, to provide for her, to protect her, to give my life for her, I will do it. Write my name down. That's what God is looking for in a marriage relationship. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But illegal lovers, God will judge. I have to say it that way because we've become numb to these words. He says, marriage is honorable among all. You could put a period right there. The romance of marriage, undefiled, between the husband and wife. And then he says, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Illegal marriage. You young Christians, your body is sort of beginning to flower. Things are coming alive. Things you're sensing, things you've never sensed before. You're percolating. Okay. Well, what else can I say? You know, we don't mind saying it with deer season. The bucks are rutting. See, it works very well there. Well, anyway, that does not excuse you. Just because it's like, ooh, I like this, I wanted that, that doesn't excuse you. You still have to say, I'll write my name. I'm going to man up. I'm going to obey the Lord even right now. It's very serious. Don't take dating. It's a joke. It's courtship. If you are a Christian, listen, in the old days, it was done for you. We don't do it that way anymore. Sometimes I wish we would. Young man, I don't like you. Get. We can't do it that way. We have to see, what has she brought home? Okay. Lord, can the French Foreign Legion draft him? Take it serious. Don't let the first punch knock you out. Be ready for it. Regroup. Have you not read, Jesus said, that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? So then, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So at that courtship phase, God may be joining these two together. And if he's not, and you know it, then you need to get out of it. Peter says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Now, we had some giggles about this last time, and it's kind of hard not to this time, too, but we will continue in it. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, incidentally, you really cannot say, ha-ha, he's saying the woman is the weaker vessel. He says, as to. What would make that as to for you? She submitted. That's what. By consent, she downsizes her strength. We do that with Christ, do we not? Not in the strength of my flesh, Lord, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not insulting women. Anybody that says the scripture insults a woman knows nothing about the scripture, and you should receive nothing from them concerning the scripture. I don't care how accomplished they are somewhere else. The Bible never insults women. It insults sinners. It says, you know what? Here's an insult. You're going to hell if you don't fix this. And so he says, husbands, dwell with them with understanding. In other words, put some effort into this. Understand that you ain't gonna understand. You gotta accept a lot of this. And that does not give you the right to be a bully. Now, wives, because a husband stands up to something you've done wrong does not therefore make him a bully. Well, I've said too much about this already, because the bottom line is, if you are having marital problems, this can be a painful section of scripture. If you're not having marital problems, it can be a boring section of scripture. But our approach is that this is God's word to us. And be it unpleasant or not, we have to consider it. That is why it is here. And so, husbands, one more time, love your wives. Do not be bitter towards them. That tells me that in Paul's day, there were those men that were bitter towards their wives. That tells me that there were marital problems in Christianity. That tells me Paul did not back away from this because the Holy Spirit would not let him back away from this. And he gives them simple instructions. Listen, from the time that God said to Eve, your desire will be towards your husband. That doesn't mean you're going to be all so romantic for him, though that is ideal. It means you're going to challenge his authority. The exact Hebrew words are used when God speaks to Cain. Sin lies at the door. Its desire is towards you. Your desire is towards your husband. Sin's desire is towards you. The exact Hebrew construction. In other words, sin will challenge your authority. Your wife will challenge the authority. God was saying in the Garden of Eden, Eve, Adam, since you two have sinned, this is what you can expect. Man, by the sweat of your brow, the earth will yield its fruit. Ladies, when you have a child, it's going to hurt. And you're going to have problems in the relationship when it comes to authority. None of that excuses us. It warns us. It arms us. It calls us to rise above it. The angels are cheering us on. Let's live like we know it. Chart your course together as a husband and wife. And then row in the same direction. Or you will reap what you sow. And if you sow seeds of discord in your home, you will reap them. Low-grade Christianity will be yours. And you will stand before Jesus. This is quite the incentive to dig in and fight for it. So if you're having marital problems, fight for it in Christ. Don't give up, whoever you are. Hosea did. Abigail, again, as we talked about last week, lived with Nabal. Could have said, oh, this is the Lord sending David to kill my hateful husband. Yoo-hoo, praise God. That's not what she did. She talked him out of it. I know he's a fool. I don't encourage that. Let me tell you something. Husbands and wives, you have no right to talk bad about your spouse to anybody. It's not cute when you say, you know what, she just annoys me. Just didn't you know it? Why does anybody else have to know it? Because it feels good. It's gossip. It's shooting yourself in your foot. The two are one flesh. No one needs to know that. If you're struggling with it, then struggle with it. You're not entitled to badmouth your spouse. I would go so far to say that about your kids. And so may we focus on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. You don't get a pass when it comes to your family. You can skip that verse with your own family. Now, if you're looking for direction, then be magnanimous about it. Be a gentleman or a lady about it. If you're going to your own mom and dad, you know, I got some problems with my spouse. Tell only what needs to be told on a need-to-know basis. Leave out the sordid details. There will be seeds sown that will bring back a rotten crop. Then he says in verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Some parents have taken this position. Okay, don't do that. And the child does it. Then they give up. Okay, there's no point. This doesn't work. So they let the child do it. Now, it's not that cut and dry. But to get my point, they don't want to discipline the children. Discipline doesn't mean you take a rod out and you whack them over the head with it anytime you want your way. Walk around with your belt in your hand. Growing up, I knew a lady who had a lot of kids. And she walked around with a big belt in her hand like a nightstick. And those kids were just as wild, and they, like, got used to it. Whap! It didn't work. What works best is having a relationship with your child. What works best is time. And guess what? You gave birth to a sinner. Why are you so surprised when they act like one?
Because it's my kid.
Self-exaltation. And so, wise as serpents, harmless as doves, discipline your child or the rest of us will suffer. Look, a child is a child and every one of them does the wrong thing. But they don't have to do the wrong thing every day, every time you see them. And so you say, I get tired of telling them. So, what does that get you off now? You're tired of correcting your child, so stop correcting them? You reap what you sow. Now, there are times where you just have to let some things go, and we'll get to that in a moment. But to the children. Now, these are children living in the home under the authority of the parents. These are not the children who've moved on and have their own home. The children in the home, you are to obey your parents in all things. Now, Paul is speaking about a Christian home. That's speaking about a home where, you know, people are taking drugs and giving them to the children and things like that. This is not the situation here. Obey your parents in all things. This is what the Lord enjoys. The Rechabites, we spoke about them in Jeremiah 35:15. Through the centuries, they represent those who respect the instructions of godly parents, spiritual descendants. We are, if we respect the instruction of godly parents. And You know, you think of Isaac and Rebekah, for example. That was, I think, a good marriage, but it had some problems. Jacob showed favor to Esau, and Rebekah showed favor to Jacob. Now, Isaac was a hardworking man. He dug wells for a living. If you want to follow Isaac, you could just connect the wells, the dots on the map. You say, well, he dug this well, and he's over here now digging another well. A hardworking man. So he liked his son Esau, who was a man of the field, who also was a good hand, and he could count on him. He could identify with him. That does not justify loving one child more than the other. Jacob, on the other hand, he wasn't a pansy. Well, pansies are those flowers that grow in the winter. That's pretty tough. I don't know why it's gotten this label. But anyway, Jacob, he wasn't like home knitting all the time. I mean, he worked with farm animals and was quite successful. It's hard work. But yet his mother favored him. So mom gets involved, and together they conspire to trick dad, who's blind anyway. It's like, man, you're messing with a handicap, number one. And it just goes on. God has recorded this story so that we would look at this and say, okay, I'm not going to do what Rebecca did. I'm not going to do what Isaac did. Mom and dad have to be one in the eyes of the children. They're indivisible. I can't play one against the other. If dad says no, then I'm not going to go to mom and try to get her to say yes. Now, again, because you're dealing with sinners, they're going to find ways around these things. That's what sinners do. But that doesn't mean we just let it slide. So dads, we are to direct our children, not dictate to them. That is the idea. And if we tolerate wrongs, as did Eli, you can expect God to pay you a visit. God didn't let that pass. He talked to Eli about this. In fact, Samuel's first sermon was a rebuke on Eli for not manning up and being the dad in the home that he was supposed to be. And so we have these lessons throughout the scripture. We do not want to discourage our children and break their spirit. It says, verse 21 of Colossians, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Don't overdo it. Show some grace and mercy. You're not a fascist in the home. You're not Batista. Or, you know, you're not Castro, the next one they got. The bearded one and the unbearded one. Anyway, you know, you're to love your children. You're to set the example for them. You're to establish a relationship with them. And if you don't like your kids, something's wrong with you. Start at the top. You can't fix it from the bottom. And this is something that is honorable and should be pursued and not run away from. Say, well, I didn't have a good father. Well, you got one now. Your father in heaven. Follow his example. See how he treats you. That's why you love him. That's why we raise holy hands and we sing praises to him. Because we know how he treats us. And we love it. Well, how about doing some of that with your child? Well, I'm not God. Well, God will be with you, though. Now, this breaking their spirit. You know that song, I'm going to get that guy to name me Sue. That's not the way to do it. I'm going to make him tough and name him after something. He's always going to have to fight for his life. Be careful. Your child is not a little Marine. You know, you're in boot camp. He's not you. He's not a cookie cut you. He is who he is in Christ Jesus. The part of you that you can most certainly transfer is whatsoever things are true, noble, just, lovely, good report. Those are the things we look to transfer. Then he goes to the workers. That's the home. And verse 22, he says, bondservants. Now, the Greek word there, I wish the translators left it as is. Again, the Greek word is slaves. Slaves, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Talking about relationships now. Now, yes, to the Christian, it is bond service because we connect it to the Old Testament teaching of the servant who refused to go free but found his joy in the house of his master. And so he'd say, I know it's my time to go free, but I want to remain your servant. And so they would take him to the doorpost and they would pierce his ear, and this would be an indication that this was a bond servant. This was a man's slave, and he wanted to be. And that's who we are in relationship to Jesus Christ.
We are so glad you tuned in today to learn from the New Testament letter of Colossians on Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference Radio is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. We're honored to be able to share God's Word with you each time you tune in. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes and Google Play Music or your favorite podcast app. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the Bible right here on Cross Reference Radio.